If you've ever had the feeling that things were hopeless, hold on. You may feel you're facing an impossible situation, but the Bible says God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Now, hope comes from having a purpose. Hope is as essential to your life as air or water. And wonderful changes are going to happen in your life as you begin to live it on purpose. God says, I know what I'm planning for you. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. I'm Rick Warren, and this is Daily Hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Set Free From Me.
The Bible teaches that you have three enemies that are trying to mess up your life. They want to defeat your family. They want to defeat your life. They want to steal your soul. They want to keep you from having joy and purpose and meaning here in life. And these three enemies come against you. It's kind of triple team and, tag team wrestling or, double team take down, things like that. And the Bible calls these three enemies that you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world comes around you, Satan comes against you, and the battle with you is within you. And this summer we're going to go in detail into each of these three enemies, because if you don't know who the enemy is, you can never win the battle, and you're going to go through life defeated most of your life. Now we're beginning with your biggest enemy. And your biggest enemy is not Satan. It's not the world. It's you. You are your biggest problem. And as I said last week, I said, when you want to run away from your problems, you want to go to Cancun, the problem is you take you with you. And all of that internal stuff is inside you. Now, what we looked at last week as we began studying the battle inside you is that you really do have two natures if you are a believer. You have your old nature, which wants to do what's fun, which wants to do what's convenient. Not necessarily the right thing, the best thing, or even what's good for you. A lot of things you want to do are actually self-destructive to you. And you know for a certain fact that there are things you know would be good for you, be healthy for you, and you don't do them. And you know that there are things that are bad for you, that are unhealthy for you, that mess up your life, and you still do them anyway. And last week we looked at this great testimony of Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, I can't figure myself out. All my best intentions aren't good enough. He says, I want to do the right thing, but I don't. And I don't want to do the wrong thing, but I do. And that is the story of you. And it is the story of me. You know far more than you're actually doing. If you were actually able to practice all the good things you know to do, you'd be a lot more successful in life. But it's not just knowing it. It's getting yourself to do it. And there's this battle because we have a natural resistance inside of us that wants to do what's easy, what's convenient, what's quick, rather than what's right and what's best. In fact, our entire nation is in a financial crisis because of this tendency of human nature to have an inability to delay gratification. We want it, and we want it now, whether we can afford it or not. So we go out and we charge it, even though we can't afford it. And the government's been doing that for years, and now we have a financial crisis that teeters on the brink of collapse. Because of the inability of buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And thinking we can have it all. Let me just tell you right now, you can't have it all. That is a myth that advertisers will tell you, you can't have it all. Life is about choices. You have to make choices in life and go, okay, what's the best for me? What's right for me? What does God want for me? And so best intentions are not good enough. And the truth is, the battle for you inside you, much of your unhappiness, in fact, I would say it this way, most of your unhappiness in life, most of your unhappiness in life is because you listen to you instead of God. And when you do that, you tell yourself stuff all the time that isn't true. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's accurate, doesn't mean it's true, doesn't mean it's correct. A lot of things you think of are not right. They're not correct. A lot of things I think of aren't right, aren't correct. In fact, a lot of things I think are actually lying to myself, rationalizing, where we tell rational lies to ourselves.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Set Free From Me, from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now, what I want us to do is look at how to overcome the 6 weapons of self-destruction. Now, you've heard of the weapons of mass destruction, but I want to talk to you about what the Bible teaches about the weapons of self-destruction. There are things that you do to yourself all the time that damage you, that hurt you, that cause you to self-destruct, that cause you enormous stress, enormous pain, enormous unhappiness, and unneeded pressure in your life. And then I'm going to show you from God's Word in Romans chapter 8 how the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God living within you can give you the antidote to every one of these weapons. Now, before we even get into the text, I want you to write these 7 things down. It's not on your outline, so you're just going to have to write it somewhere, scribble it over on the side. These are the 7 weapons of self-destruction. You can talk to any psychologist, and they'll tell you that these are the 7 things that mess up people's lives more than anything else. And we're going to look at the cure for these weapons of self-destruction. The first weapon of self-destruction is shame. Shame. You cannot be happy and feel ashamed at the same time. When you feel ashamed, when you feel guilty, when you feel regrets, that just robs all your happiness. God doesn't want you to walk around feeling guilty. God doesn't want you walking around feeling ashamed. God doesn't want you walking around with regrets. In fact, that's why he sent Jesus on the cross, to die for all of your sins. But shame is the first, number one destroyer of happiness. The second weapon of self-destruction is uncontrolled thoughts. If you don't learn how to control your thoughts will ruin your life. Because you say stuff to yourself that causes unhappiness, causes grief, causes pressure. You must learn how to control your thoughts. The third weapon of self-destruction is compulsions. Compulsions are those inner drives, inner desires. You can call them lusts, you can call them habits, you can call them impulses, but they're those things in your life you feel like, I felt like I just had to do it. Even though you knew it was wrong, I just had to do it. And those compulsions, you got to learn how to deal with those and how to fight that weapon of self-destruction. Because if you do things by your compulsions, you'll mess up your life. The fourth weapon of self-destruction is fear. And fear is an enormous destroyer of happiness, of potential, of God's purpose for your life. It will limit your life. You've got to learn how to master your fears. The fifth weapon of self-destruction is hopelessness. Hopelessness keeps you from keeping on. When you start to feel hopeless about anything, you get discouraged and want to give up. If you feel hopeless about your marriage, if you feel hopeless about ever getting married, if you feel hopeless about your finances, or you feel hopeless about your health, hopelessness is a self-destructive weapon that you use on you. And when you turn it inward, it robs you of God's plan for your life. Number six, bitterness is a huge weapon of self-destruction. Because life is unfair, and we don't all get the same thing, and life is broken, and we're stuck, and some people get better than you, and you get jealous, and you get envious, and some people hurt you, you can either get better or bitter. And bitterness is a cancer that will eat you alive, and it's a poison that'll eat you on the inside. You never hurt other people with your bitterness like you hurt yourself. You always hurt you the most. It is a self-destructive emotion. There is no value to bitterness in your life. There's no value to holding on to a grudge. All it does is make you miserable. And the seventh weapon of self-destruction is insecurity. You got to deal with this one. Because if you don't learn how to deal with insecurity in your life, it's going to cause you to do foolish things. When you're insecure and you're trying to show everybody else that you're very confident, you'll say stupid things. You'll do stupid things. You'll pose. And the only people impressed by posers are other posers. Okay? Everybody sees through it. The only people who are impressed by fakes are other fakes. So, you know, when you're insecure, you can't hide it. You have to deal with it. Now, the classic passage on dealing with these weapons of self-destruction is Romans 7 and Romans 8. If you missed the last 2 weeks, you need to run, not walk, out to the patio and buy the CDs from the last 2 weeks so you'll be caught up. Or you need to watch them online on MP3s or on video. But Romans 7 explains what these seven things do in your life. And Romans 8 gives us the answer. Now, at the end of Romans 7, Paul says this. Look up here on the screen. He's outlined the battle going on inside himself. And he says, what a miserable person I am. Because I'm miserable. You know, as I said, all those things I want to do that I know are good, I end up not doing. And all those things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And I'm really messing up my life. What a miserable person I am. I've tried everything and nothing helps. He says, who will free me from this life dominated by sin? Now, he doesn't say what will free me. Because the answer to you, the problem inside you, the mess-ups in your life that you'd like to change, the answer is not a pill, it's not a program, it's not a book, it's not a tape, it's not a seminar, it's not hypnosis. The answer is a person. It is Jesus Christ and His Spirit inside you. And Romans 8 is the answer to Romans 7. That the Spirit of God inside you gives you the antidote to all seven of these negative emotions. Now, what I want us to look at this weekend is, how can I be free from me? How can I be set free from me? And the way we're going to look at this is the truths of Romans 8, I have put them in a practical way of listing seven mental habits that you need to do that will help you apply the truth of Romans chapter 8. And so we're going to look at these seven mental habits that explain the great truths of Romans 8. Romans 8 is the greatest chapter in the Bible. In my opinion, it's the greatest chapter. They once did a study of Bible scholars and said, if you could only have one chapter of the Bible and you're on a desert island, which one would you take? And about 90% of them said, I'd take Romans 8. So this is a very strong passage. You need to take a lot of notes today. Number one, the first step in being set free from me is this. I must remind myself daily what Jesus did for me. That's the starting point. I got to remind myself every day of what Jesus did for me. What is salvation? What are the benefits of it? You see, we have a lot of people who are saved who don't act like it. They run around all the time filled with shame and uncontrolled thoughts and compulsions and fear and bitterness and insecurity. And they're believers, but they're not set free from me. And the first step is you've got to remind yourself what Jesus actually did for you. And this is how the Holy Spirit sets me free from shame. Let's look at these verses. Romans 8, 1 to 4. First he says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Now let me stop there before we go any further. No condemnation means God doesn't judge you for all the things you've done wrong if you've trusted Christ, because Jesus took all that judgment on the cross. He doesn't have to judge you because Jesus was judged. He doesn't have to condemn you because Jesus took your condemnation. He took your rap. He paid your penalty. He did your time for you. Now, the Bible says that if I'm a believer, that I belong to Christ, look at that verse, there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Circle the phrase, belong to Christ Jesus. This whole passage is talking about people who've given their life to Jesus. This doesn't apply to you if you haven't made that decision yet. But if you've received Christ into your life, the Bible says, you're under no condemnation. That means God doesn't get mad at you when you sin. Did you hear that? God does not get mad at you when you sin if you belong to Jesus Christ, because he's already taken the payment. Now notice, it doesn't say that after I become a Christian, I won't sin. You're still going to sin. It doesn't say I'm not going to make mistakes. You're still going to make mistakes. It doesn't say I'm not going to fail and look stupid. You're going to fail and look stupid. It just says you're under no condemnation. In other words, you don't have to walk around with shame. You don't have to walk around with guilt. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he not only paid for all of the sins you committed last week, last year, and your entire life, he's already paid for the sins that you're going to commit tomorrow, next week, and the rest of your life. They're already paid for. That's good news. That is good news. No condemnation. That means there is no reason for a Christian to walk around in shame. Because I stop and I remind myself, Jesus paid for all of my sins. He already knew before I was born every sin I was going to do. And he paid for it. Now the next part of that verse says, for the power of the life-giving Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Now what does that verse mean? The second thing I remember is that because I'm a believer and I have Jesus, I have a new power in my life greater than willpower. You see, before you became a Christian, the only thing you had to use against your bad habits was sheer willpower. And how long does that work? Not very long. He says, now there's a new power in you. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are still simply relying on willpower to change. They've never figured out how to connect into spiritual power. Into the power of the Holy Spirit, into the power of Jesus inside you. He says, there's a new power in you. There's a new sheriff in town. And when you want to change things in your life, it's not just, if it's to be, it's up to me. It's not just my own willpower. It is God's power in me. I have been given a power greater than willpower. We're going to look at this more in the next verses. Then the next thing it says, the law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature. Now, laws, keeping God's laws, cannot save you. Guy says, well, I know I'm going to heaven. You say, how do you know? He says, because I keep the Ten Commandments. I say, name them. You don't not only not keep the Ten Commandments, you couldn't even name all of them. If I asked you to stand up right now, you couldn't even, how can you keep them if you don't even know them all? By the way, keeping laws never works. Why? It says, because of our sinful nature. Laws simply work on outside behavior. They don't work on inside change. They don't change you on the inside. For instance, if I were to bring a pig out here, a big sow that had been rolling around in the mud and the dirt and eating garbage, and it stinks to high heaven, and say, what is this? You'd say, it's a pig. Now, I take that pig backstage and I run it through a couple of car washes. And then I put it in a bathtub. And I have bath salts and perfumed soap suds, and I get it all cleaned up, and I brush the pig's teeth. And then I sprinkle some foo-foo juice on it, you know, some Corral number 5, you know, that would be appropriate for a pig. Okay. And I rub it down with oil of Olay. So its skin is just silky, silky soft. And then I tie a ribbon around its neck, and I put a bonnet on it, and I put some eyeshadow and fake eyelashes on this pig, and I put a dress on it, and then I put some lipstick on this pig, and I bring this pig out, and I say, now what is it? Still a pig. Okay? You may have spiffed up the outside, but the nature has remained unchanged. And this is what happens with self-help programs. Inside, it's still the same nature.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
We need to turn our thoughts to God whenever we're afraid. This is how God's Spirit sets us free from the attitude of fear. The Bible says, for the Spirit God gives you doesn't make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins Himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. That's what Romans 8 says in verses 14 to 16. When you're afraid, stop focusing on your fear and start focusing on the Father. Whenever you're afraid, the first thing you need to do is remember this. Whose family are you a part of? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family. And families take care of each other. And there's a family protection too. So you can say to your fears, wait a minute. Do you know who my Father is? My Father is the creator of the universe. My Father is God. I'm a child of God. I'm in the family. And God takes care of His kids. Then you can cry out to the Father, Father, Daddy, please take care of this fear for me. Will you handle this one for me? It's too big for me. And your Heavenly Father will say, of course, I'll handle it for you. Go back to sleep. You don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it for you. I hope you've enjoyed this session today. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.